This is Ryan Fletcher here with Gary Crystal of the Arts and Culture Working Group. Thank you for coming in, Gary. So what is the purpose of the Arts and Culture Working Group?
To produce and coordinate arts and culture events at the World Peace Forum. The group is a kind of loose confederation of people who are active in the arts in Vancouver.
Okay.
Or who are interested in the arts in Vancouver. Some of us go back many, many years, and some of us are much more recent adherents to it. It started up, I believe, in November of 2004. I got involved, I guess, a little more than a year ago.
Okay.
And it has met consistently in working, full working group and smaller disciplinary committees for the last year, putting together a whole whack of events for the World Peace Forum.
So are there going to be a lot of events?
Yeah, there are going to be a whole lot of events. I could bore you by going through all of them, but I suggest people track down the full listing under Forum on the World Peace Forum website. But essentially, we have a visual arts program.
Okay.
Which ranges from things that have been around for a while to a mail art exhibition that was curated specifically for this. We sent out a call to artists all around the world, and there's this whole phenomenon of mail art, which art that goes through the mail, things. And we've got a whole lot of stuff. That's going to be up at the Isabel McInnes Room in the Gage residence at UBC. We've got a Middle East peace quilt. We've got a mural that people can come out and help paint.
That's going to be floating
around out there in front of International House, which is our main center for visual arts. There's a whole lot of visual art there.
Where is that located?
International House. Yeah. It's kind of kitty corner to the Anthropology Museum at UBC.
Okay.
You have to find, I forget the name of the street, but not that it would mean anything to anybody. But it's out there by the Anthropology Museum on the other side of the street, International House. We've got a program, and all these things are free, by the way, except one that I'll talk about, at the Roundhouse, which is outside UBC, down in along False Creek. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the Peace Forum, starting on the 23rd, going the 24th and the 25th, of everything, again, from a bunch of kids who've created dances at Tecumseh Elementary to some veteran peace artists talking about exactly the question of what do the arts contribute to peace, to songwriters from England, Atlantic Canada, Nova Scotia, a reading of a play by a Japanese theater group, a real kind of mixed and multidisciplinary body of work at the Roundhouse for, again, for 3 days and for free. An organization in the United States called the Secure World Foundation is producing, supporting, funding a concert at the Chan Center out at UBC on the Monday night, the 26th. We've got, again, artists from England, Arab-Canadian artists from Toronto, just a real variety there. Holly Neer, who's well-known to people of a certain age, has been an activist around peace issues for well over 30 years. Again, it's a great concert of Aboriginal reggae music, contemporary political songwriting, a variety of things. At the Chan, we've got a choral festival also at the Chan on the Sunday, June 25th, with a bunch of choirs performing in the afternoon and the evening. Two of the finest choirs in Western Canada, the Vancouver Chamber Choir and the North Shore Unitarian Church Choir, doing specific pieces that have been created for peace. And on and on and on it it goes. There's a whole lot of stuff, from theater to visual arts to sculpture to music. It's I think it's a really rich program of stuff. And what holds it all together is all of it is political art dedicated to advancing the themes of the World Peace Forum, which are world peace, economic sustainability, and social justice.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of time has gone into this.
We've spent a few hours going over it.
Yeah. Yes, I can tell from your expression when you're saying this that you certainly did. And so what would you say that arts and entertainment can do for world peace?
Well, people often say that political art, in many ways, is preaching to the converted. And I always say that preaching to the converted is what has kept the churches of every religious denomination in business for the last 5,000 years. So I think there are two aspects to it, one of which simply is it keeps people encouraged in the struggle. I go back a few years. I got involved in this stuff actively in 1965.
Okay.
In the years since then, 41 years, I remember many of the songs I heard and none of the speeches.
Right.
So I remember 1965, I was a 15-year-old kid, and I sat down in front of the American Consulate on University Avenue in Toronto to support the Selma, Alabama walk that Martin Luther King was leading against segregation. Mm-hmm. And again, I heard all kinds of speeches, but the thing that I'll never forget is the first time I heard somebody sing The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, a Bob Dylan song. It wasn't him, but somebody got up at a meeting, picked up their guitar, and sang it. It was like somebody rammed a piece of iron through my soul.
Okay.
And I remember that.
Yeah.
I've heard many, many fine things on stages, but I remember the cultural stuff more. And I think one of the functions of the artist that we have is, in fact, to articulate the goals of the peace movement in this case and to motivate people to keep on fighting. I think it also, to one degree or another, may, under some circumstances, recruit the odd individual. But I think people are motivated to act for different reasons. I really do not believe that somebody looked at Guernica by Picasso and decided they were going to support the Republican side of the Civil War. But I think that Guernica, which has been designated by many people the world's most famous painting, sustained many people in their fight. So I think that part of the role is to keep people active and to articulate in a way that most people are not able to do the goals of the peace movement.
Okay. Now, how do the artists that you've been talking with, how do they feel about the forum? What's their reception been like?
Well, I think people have been really excited by it. Often, there are two kinds of artists. One are artists who heard about the Peace Forum fairly early in the proceedings and offered their work, offered their time, got in touch with us, said, you know, how can I do something there? Mm-hmm. Then there are people who every day at this point, and we're talking now 2 weeks from the beginning of the Peace Forum, this morning I got a call from a bunch of people who are players in the Vancouver Symphony.
Okay.
And they are interested in performing some of the classical repertoire that is connected with the peace movement. Classical composers like Benjamin Britten, Beethoven, etc., a number of the greats and contemporary composers have written work dedicated to stopping war, dedicated to peace. Mm-hmm. These particular people found out about the Peace Forum yesterday from reading an article in the Vancouver Sun.
Yeah.
And they read the article, which I didn't read. They phoned up the Peace Forum. Yeah. I got an email last night from the executive director saying, hey, I just got a call from these folks. I think they're called Strings of Consolation or something. It's string players of Vancouver Symphony. I was on the phone with them this morning, and we're working out somewhere where they can perform. So I suspect that between the time we're talking and when we open in 2 weeks, there's all kinds of people who are artists who are just finding out about this. So some of them found out a year and a half ago and said, I'd really like to do something because I have work that supports peace and how do I get involved, and some of them even as we speak now don't know that it's on and they're going to be phoning us up and trying to get involved. I think that peace and art go well together. I mean, there are very few people, I suppose, that support war. I suppose that some artists make a buck doing posters for the army, but aside from that, most people who produce art think that, you know, it's a good thing to have a world at peace, and I think that that's why artists are interested in supporting it.
Okay. And is there going to be an open area for artists that come in and haven't been booked and maybe they just found out about it 2 days before the forum or just walking in? And
well, it depends where. I mean, know, I don't think there'll be too much of that.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening, if at this point, by the time you hear this, it's probably too late. On the other hand, there is nothing to stop people from just doing it.
Yeah.
You know, show up at some of the events, stand outside. We're using a whole lot of places out at UBC. If you're a poet and you've written poems about peace and you want to stand there and recite your poetry, nobody's going to get a piece of wood and drive you away. If you're somebody who's written a song about it, do that. If I think people should engage wherever they can. To be honest with you, at this point, my biggest struggle is a kind of triage. There is so much stuff, and there are so many artists who want to participate. And even it isn't even about money. I say, well, our budget's gone. Oh, I'll play for free. But we're running out of time, stage space. We simply don't have it. But again, there's going to be a huge peace march in Vancouver. That Tatch used to be in April, but we're doing it on June 24th, the Saturday. It's going to meet at the Water Street SkyTrain station and at the Peace Flame on the other side of the south side of the Broad Street Bridge. Again, this is a perfect opportunity for every kind of artist, from a visual artist to a performer, march in the peace, walk and bring your art, perform your art, show your art. I think the more people doing more things in more places, the better it is.
Okay, great. So hope you're inspired out there. Are there any forums based around arts and culture?
Not a great deal. There are three presentations at the Roundhouse, one by a woman named Jeannie Caymans, who's a Vancouver visual artist, another by a group called Mecha Normal, who do both visual art and music in Vancouver, and one from a fellow named Peter Nias, who's coming over here from the Bradford Peace Museum in England. Okay. And they are going to address those questions at the Roundhouse. But other than that, my feeling, and I think the rest of us in the group also agreed, that we didn't really want to talk about it. We wanted to do it.
Right.
I mean, thing about art is describing a painting is a lot less interesting than putting a painting up on a wall.
Yeah.
You know, I could describe you music, but it's not nearly as effective as the music itself. So we felt that the way artists should speak was by having their art there. And the way people like myself, with no discernible artistic abilities, but who've been involved in the arts as administrators, the best way we can articulate our views is by organizing these events and getting people out to them. So for us, while it's interesting to hold the discussion, ultimately it's more fun, and I think it's a lot more interesting to actually produce the art.
Right, yeah. Is there parties afterwards for artists or some?
Beats you know, me.
Yeah,
I'm sure there will be, but
yeah.
I don't know where they are.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be a great collective of discussing art as well for the artists that are going to be there.
Certainly no public ones, although, again, out at the Yage residence where a lot of people are staying at UBC, in this room called the Isabel McInnes room on the ground floor, we're running something called the Peace Cafe. And that's open to the public, as are all these events, pretty well, except one, which I'm going to get to in a minute, which we're running essentially a coffee house there.
Okay.
And people are welcome to come. There's going to be music there, other kinds of art. There may even be some open stages there. That's where I'd go.
See if
I could insinuate myself in. And that's out at UBC, and that's going to be running all the evenings of the Peace Forum and during the day as well. And maybe some people are going to be hanging around there. But before I forget, the one event that actually is ticketed in this is a fundraising concert we're doing for the Canadian Landmines Foundation with the Be Good Tanyas, with Buffy St. Marie, and with Kanan, young Somali Canadian artist from Toronto who won the Juno for Best Rap Recording. And that's on at the Orpheum.
Okay.
And tickets are through Ticketmaster. That's on the Saturday, the night of June 24th. So it's a great way to spend the day, is march in the Peace March and then go to the concert afterwards.
And what is this Landmines, Canadian Landmines?
Well, Canada's played a really progressive role, oddly enough, in the campaign to get rid of landmines. Problem with landmines is when the war's over, they take the planes home. The tanks drive home, the warships sail home, the planes fly home, and the landmines sit there.
Yeah.
I was in Cambodia a number of years ago, and I've never been in a stranger place because everywhere I went, there were people missing an arm or a leg.
Okay.
And these landmines, these things are devilish devices. They sit there, and 20 years after somebody put them there, somebody steps on one. Some kid who wasn't even born when the thing was stuck there is out walking in the woods, walking across a field, working on a farm, and all of a sudden, kablooey.
Yeah.
And they're made not to kill you. They're made to maim you, because the people who developed them, may they rot in somewhere, did it on the basis that the more wounded an army has to take care of, the more energy, food, people to take care of that person. So they're meant to wound people. So right. people don't even have the dignity of a quick death.
Right.
They spend their lives crippled, blinded. And Canada, and Lloyd Axworthy, when he was the Minister of Foreign Affairs or whatever he was, in the Liberal government, there was a big campaign to ban these things. And a lot of them have been banned. And the Canadian Landmines Foundation cleans them up.
Okay.
And there are millions of these things.
So it's a bunch of sappers.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they've developed new technology, you know, that goes and finds these things.
Okay.
And First World War, the way things used to be was they'd plant the mines and they'd have a map.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the war was over, whoever lost would give whoever won the map.
Right.
And say, that's where we put them. But starting, I think, with Vietnam, and I'm not an expert on this, they would drop them out of planes. Nobody knows where these things are. Even the people who planted them don't know where they are.
Right.
So it's just a slow, methodical process of finding these nasty little buggers and getting rid of them.
Yeah.
And we're trying to raise some money to support that work.
Okay. Well, sounds great. So what's the market like for artists who are motivated by peace and like to work with peace? It's kind of that's what they do. Is there much of a market for people like that?
Well, I don't know how many artists do just that. And I don't know how you describe the market. I think that there are some artists who mainly work for political or social organizations that are involved in good works. But most of the artists I know, this is something that they do among other things that
right.
they do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for instance, Neil Young has just come out with an anti-war album.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that that's how Neil Young makes his living, but he's been motivated by the idiocy of the war in Iraq to come out with something that denounces it.
Right.
And I think that's great. I think the market for political artists, I suppose, it's not a bad thing. I know that the right wing in the United States is very concerned about the number of Hollywood actors who oppose the war in Iraq. I know mm-hmm. that artists like Ani DiFranco, that the Indigo Girls, just mentioned Neil Young, the Dixie Chicks have certainly, but you know, taken a strong stand, and I think that that's great. I don't think these people say, oh, there's a niche market, the peace market.
Right.
I think people, artists, if they're good, in my view, and if what they're creating is art rather than pure entertainment, articulate their feelings.
Uh-huh.
And it's inevitable that some artists are going to be motivated by what's going on in the world and articulate their feelings through their art and then be invited, if they're performing artists or visual artists, to show that art, to perform that art, to support various political movements. I think that certainly, unlike the days when the Weavers, one of the seminal American folk groups, were blacklisted, or Paul Robeson was blacklisted in the 1950s for speaking out against war, amongst other things,
mm-hmm.
that people do that now, and they're quite successful, that there are people who support political artists. But I think that most people believe that artists have the right to express their point of view, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, and,
right.
and don't kind of see, and most artists, I don't think, see themselves as somehow creating work when they do political work for a market.
Right. What is your background in arts and culture?
I've been working with the arts professionally now for just shy of 30 years. I helped start the Folk Music Festival in Vancouver, ran a pavilion at Expo, Folklife Pavilion. I work for the Canada Council. Now I manage a number of artists, produce some shows, work on projects. So basically I've been a parasite on the body of the people's music for about 3 decades. I've always enjoyed doing that kind of work, and it's always a treat when I'm able to combine my own views of the world, which are in line with the peace movement and the socialist
okay.
movement in a broader sense,
mm-hmm.
with the work that I do as a producer of cultural events.
Okay. So why did you get involved with the World Peace Forum? Was that it? Just the,
they lied to me. They said it wouldn't be a lot of work.
Oh.
Well, I went to a few meetings and of the arts and culture working group, and it seemed that it could use somebody who might be able to pull it together. And a couple of people involved in the forum said, "Well, why don't you take a whack at trying to coordinate it?"
Right.
And I did, not suspecting it was going to turn into the size of a project it's turned into. But we were mm-hmm. just overwhelmed by the amount of stuff there. So the more stuff there is, the more work. But it's fine. I mean, I think that as somebody who's a organizer of cultural events and has those abilities, I would be dishonest if I wasn't prepared to give everything I've got to making the arts and culture component of the World Peace Forum as good as it can possibly can be. I got involved in it because if it makes a little bit of a difference, then I'm happy to do that. Right now, I'm in a Donald Duck rage about the Canadian troops that are filling in for the Americans and the others in Afghanistan. Yeah. I think there needs to be an anti-war movement in this country that demands that the Canadian troops are out now. I think that doing work for the World Peace Forum helps create an anti-war culture, and that culture is where that peace movement can grow. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm doing it because I'm offended at the wars I see raging all around the planet, and particularly by Canada's increasing participation in them, and this is what I can do. This is the only thing I know how to do.
Okay. What sort of result would you like to see after the forum? Like, what would you like, do you like to see happen?
Well, ideally, I'd like to see the forum spark dozens of other similar events all over the world and create a peace movement of millions and hundreds of millions of people that will drive the warmongers out of government.
Okay.
I'm not a fool, so I know that isn't going to be the case. What I hope happens is that people are inspired to work in the various sectors where they work, whether that be as teachers, whether that be as artists, whether that be as engineers, whether that be in whatever people do, in either in their professional lives or in their personal lives, to support the campaign to wipe out war, economic injustice, and environmental degradation. I mean, I'm terrified about what's happening in the world, and I hope that the Peace Forum advances a corrective against that.
Okay. What have been some of the challenges of this work, and what have been some of the greatest pleasures for you?
I think the challenges are we don't have enough money. There isn't enough time to do everything we need to do. We are not all paid organizers or even professional organizers, so you work with what you've got. People give the time they have, but people have a variety of commitments in their lives. If we had a really big budget and we had lots of staff to hire lots of people who could work on this full time, we could do a much better job. 90% of the work on these things is done by volunteers.
Right.
So those are the challenges. On the other hand, the delights and the best things are also the same as the worst things. The fact that we can create the kind of thing that we have, mainly with volunteers, mainly with artists who are giving far more time than they are being paid for, the amount of energy, the amount of commitment that people are giving simply because they are motivated to do that by the goals that we have in common, that's always a wonderful thing. And I think for me personally, the delight of these things is always discovering new work.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I'm an art junkie. I like looking at pictures. I like listening to music. I like hearing people, you know, tell stories, etc. And I've learned a great deal. I've seen art that I never would have seen. I've discovered music I wouldn't have discovered, etc. For me, it's that's the payoff, if you like.
Okay. And is there anything else you'd like to mention in the interview?
No, not really. I mean, I think that people should go. I think that the World Peace Forum is a cornucopia of wonderful things, a horn of plenty of wonderful things in Vancouver. I think it's so big and so diverse that people are easily kind of flummoxed by it and say, oh, I don't know, there's so many little bits and pieces, I don't know what to do. I suppose the one thing I would say to people is spend a little time. We live in a period of the 2-second attention span. To really look at the program of the World Peace Forum will probably take you an hour. That's almost unheard of these days.
Right.
You know, people are so used to clicking the clicker to the mouse to the next thing. I think that what I'd like to see people do is really sit down, take a look at the program, both the arts and culture program, but also the whole broad program, and go to some things. Educate yourselves, experience something new, hear people advancing points of view that either you share or don't share, but people you haven't heard before. There's an enormous, rich body of stuff there, and it's not entirely obvious when you look at it the first time. So I think spend a little time and participate in it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Gary. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.